everybody. It's the Checkers or Wreckers Show on Speedway Anywhere, your Speedway podcast for everything motorsports and even some multi-sports. blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere. Feel free to join the show. Call 917-889-2053. We're live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. For those that need help with that, that's, you know, Minnesota, a straight line down the Mississippi, that kind of time. I'm your crew chief, Q. Team Captain Kurt will be joining us as well. Let's start out with one of the dominoes of the puzzle has fallen in place for 2019. Ryan Newman is out of Childress Racing from the number 31 and has made it official. He's made announcements that he will become the veteran teammate to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. when he takes over the pilot ship number 6 at Roush Racing. I think this is going to be a great fit. It's a good move that will bring Roush back up the ladder. It will give them, it will propel them to where they used to be, especially after Ford needed some help. And that's when Stuart Haas Racing jumped on board after driving Chevys for years and obviously have had a lot of success between Tony's championships, Kevin Harvick's championships, the wins from Kurt Busch, and then, of course, now that Eric Almirola's in the number 10, he's done rather well there. The Rocket Man, though, Ryan Newman, as he has been known, is also an engineering major, understands a lot more than just what it takes to put the pedal down and get the car around the track. He's an engineering degree, and I've also heard he was one hell of a linesman in football while earning that degree. The other shoes to fall have been Jamie McMurray's deal at Ganassi, which he'll be stepping out at Ganassi after next year's Daytona 500. And Martin Truex, his pending status of where he's going to go, 99% likely to take over the 19 at Gibbs Racing. We already know for sure that the 78 team is closing its doors. Other than that, we got Kurt Busch, who's, you know, nothing's official, but it appears he's leaving the 41. The ride of Casey Kane. Casey Kane will be retiring. And where prospect Matt DiBenedetto will go, like I've said in previous shows, I think he is a guy for teams to chase after. I think he's a lot better than what his equipment has been. And then, of course, who will take over the Junior Motorsports number 1 when Elliott Sadler retires at the end of this year? Daniel Suarez possibly being the odd man out, with Truex possibly moving in, and a partridge and a pear tree. But the cards are starting to fall. Let's go green flag and drop the hammer. As far as the Cup Series, lunchtime is over for the first round of the chase. Halftime at Richmond, it showed last year champ Martin Truex Jr. is the man to beat, especially being the highest finisher at Vegas. Truex collected the first two stages at Richmond, and it was Kyle Busch of the Big Three getting the big V. Harvick of the Big Three was closing in on the final laps, but wound up second. I think if Harvick had about 5 more laps, he would have got Kyle Busch for the win. Third place went to Martin Truex Jr. of the Big Three. Vegas was somewhat of a fluke. Kyle Busch went lawn mowing. Harvick ended up in a wreck with Eric Jones. where Harvick finished 39th, Eric Jones finished 40th. The 2018 dominant drivers are showing that they are still the factor if anyone wants to bid for the finale at Homestead. Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski are locks for the next round. They both have wins. Keselowski at Vegas, Kyle Busch at Richmond, and of course, that was Brad's big three. He won three in a row leading up to that last one at Vegas. Martin Truex Jr. and Kevin Harvick are next based on points. So we got Kyle Busch in the finish there at Richmond. And Logano rounded out the top five. So, final finishing positions at Richmond were Kyle Busch winning, Harvick second, Truex third, Chase Elliott fourth. That's what I missed out on in the last paragraph. He needed that fourth. He's not sitting well for points. He's outside of the top 12. But Eric Almirola also started strongest of the Stewart teams at Vegas. He took a top five, so he's sitting pretty for points. Daytona 500 win. He finished sixth. Dylan rode outside the top 16 throughout the entire year going into the chase, but of course had that one win of anyone outside the top 16. He had the win to lock him in. That's just the way it plays out. He may just get further in the chase than many anticipated, including myself. He's doing okay points-wise to stay within the top 12 after the Roval. I'm not going to go through the whole 16 drivers, but Denny Hamlin outside looking in to the next round is probably my biggest surprise. He's the final 16 spot. And he was last week at Vegas. He was still in the 16th spot at Richmond. Eric Jones, 15th, has that one win that locked him in and sat inside the top 16 in points as well. Jimmy Johnson, he needs to just plan for next year as he sits 14th in points. This is kind of an anomaly. Everyone's got their chinks in their armor, and this has been a big one on Jimmy Johnson. Clint Bowyer is on the cusp in 13th. He needs some luck at the Roval at Charlotte to point his way in. Who knows? I believe Clint Bowyer has won on a road course, but this is no ordinary road course. I don't think luck will be enough for 14th through 16th in points. Don't get me wrong. 5th through 16th aren't even 100 points apart. And when you base it on, stage points and whatnot, from 7th could end up 16th, and a guy from 16th could end up 7th, but that's a whole nother story. There's only one more race to make it happen for 12 to make it in through the next round. The Roval is going to be luck of the best, and who has strategy, and they got to unload off the truck fast. There's not enough time on that brand new track to sit around and experiment. So I don't think lucky guys are this is hard to explain. I don't think the lucky guys are going to have strategy to achieve some luck. The turns are tight. It's a brand new world. I'm just going to leave it at that. Let's also remember drivers outside the 16 could steal a win and make the guys inside the top 16 have to rely on points instead of wins to advance. Somebody could steal that win who isn't even eligible for the championship. So know when you're in as far as that goes. This goes for every round, too, including the finale at Miami. Xfinity, Christopher Bell got the job done. And if not for the wreck between Allgaier and Cole Custer at Richmond later in the race, Bell may have had more competition than just Ross Chastain, who performed awesome, and Dale Jr. This was the first of the X Series, the Xfinity Series, as far as their chase goes. Most say Allgaier and Bell are going to be the two that settle it. I beg to differ. It's been quite obvious that once upon a time, not long ago, Ross Chastain jumped in the Ganassi X car, Xfinity's car, and showed his hand. He had got his first 2018 win in that 42 car at Vegas. Ross Chastain so far is slated to run in the number four again, the car that he's been running most of the year. Outside of that, number 42. But I have a feeling that there will be, oh, probably a little bit more support from the Chip Ganassi Racing team for, four. I think they might stand in and who knows? Maybe the 42 car will have a number four on the side of it so they can help Ross Chastain progress and contend for the championship at Miami. Sentimental favorite, Elliott Sadler had fans on his side as he ran his last race at his hometown Virginia track. Sadler ran consistently in the top five and even was knocking on the door of leading. He instead landed sixth at the finish, but I think he's going to be okay going into at least the final round before Miami. Dale Jr., who came out for a one-off race and said he wasn't going to get competitive, he wasn't going to race hard, said he just wanted to get out of the booth and have some fun. Well, he ended up leading the most laps of the race with 96, ended up finishing fourth. I do somewhat wonder if Junior wanted to let the season regulars, you know, go for the win you're in guys to advance to the next round. That would appear to me to be his style. He didn't want to go and dominate and steal everyone else's thunder. He went out. He had his fun. He got competitive. He shows he still got it. That's the first time I've seen him in the Xfinity Series. But here's Christopher Bell with his post-race interview.
Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell. To one of the fans, Christopher, you did it, buddy. You are moving on to the next round of the playoffs.
I'll tell you what, buddy, that's pretty cool. It's not very often that you get to win with a car that's not a winning car. So we'll take it, and you know, just thank you to my pit crew for the awesome pit stops tonight. Jason Ratcliffe did a great job making this thing better each and every time we hit the pit road. So man, I'm just pumped. This is to be able to sweep Richmond and to get five wins on top of that, moved around two, I just couldn't be happier.
And with your fifth win, your fan base is getting bigger and bigger. What do you want to say to these fans here tonight?
I want to say thank you. But more, yeah, thank you guys for showing up. But more importantly, we're racing with heavy hearts for a fellow sprint car driver, Greg Hotnett. He lost his life last night. So I'm thinking about him. There's a lot of us that are thinking about him. So that's the priority.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you.
Christopher Bell, your winner tonight, the Gold Bowling 250.
So we're going to go back live. Greg Hodnett and the Will of Outlaws, for as far back as I can remember, maybe, 25 years? Greg Hodnett lost his life in a wreck. This is one of the things that I hate worst about my job. Probably, well, there's not much to hate about it other than this, and that is the driver fatalities. Greg Hodnett at BAPS Motor Speedway Thursday, September 20th, was killed in a wreck. Newburytown, Pennsylvania. Greg was the 1993 Rookie of the Year, and Friday and Saturday's World of Outlaws events were canceled in respect to Greg and his family. I've watched Greg, oh God, yeah, all 25 years, and running against veterans like the Kinzers, Swindells, and others. Teams fielded by Tony Stewart, Casey Kane, Dave and Dale Blaney, of course, one the father, one the uncle of young Blaney, who's out there tearing it up in the Cup Series, as well as other predecessors to the Sprint Car Nation. You know, there's been others who have lost their life in the sprint car divisions, but God, Greg had 129 wins of his 1,422 races. I mean, that's like baseball season. Your 1993 Rookie of the Year, you get all those championships. You win 129 races. You run 1,422 races. And then, of course, that's just the World of Outlaws career that he had. The guy was great. Greg was 49. This was after Jason Johnson lost his life earlier this year in the World of Outlaws event at Beaver Dam Speedway. And, you know, it's a hard pill to swallow. And I don't know whether I should show the same emotion that I did when I first announced, Jason Johnson's, life ending, or, you know, what do you do with it? We understand the risks. We understand, you know, what's on tap as far as the risk and reality of motorsports. So go join that Speedway in the Sky. All right, so we have covered the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, and everyone's well into their chase. The Truck Series, though, the Truck Series last raced where Christopher Bell picked up the win at, or excuse me, I said that wrong, didn't I? Christopher Bell is a Xfinity driver. Grant Enfinger won Vegas to guarantee his spot through the next four races as they go into their choice. Justin Haley, he came out with the Canadian Motorsports win on the road course. And they've had a lot of downtime. Gets kind of hard to follow. But, hey, Truck Series is sometimes a lot more entertaining than the upper echelon divisions of the Cup Series and the X Series. So, but, yeah, right now, Justin Haley, he's locked to move on past Talladega. Grant Enfinger, he's locked to move on past Talladega. And then we have Johnny Sauter in third, Noah Gregson fourth, Brett Moffitt in fifth, Matt Crafton at the cutoff point. And then seventh and eighth go to Ben Rhodes and Stuart Friesen outside looking in after the second of the chase races. We all know Dega is going to be the wild card, though, for the guys that aren't guaranteed a spot, as in Haley and Enfinger. It's going to be all about points. It's going to be luck of the draw. It's going to be this, that, the other thing. I don't see a few of them making it through. I could say some names, and I'm going to. Matt Crafton came in eighth of the eight drivers eligible for the chase. It's not been his year, even though he's got multiple championships leading up to it. He's at the cutoff point in sixth. There's only going to be six drivers that move up. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm really not, but it's going to be fun to watch that race at Dega in early October. We got a couple weeks to go before that rolls around. I'm on the cusp myself. I don't know exactly who may or may not be the one to look at. I'm a bad boy. I didn't do my homework. My dog ate it. Sorry, I'm looking at a link here. I got people kind of chiming in. And one of them is a big wrestling fan. He's kind of hoping that he'd actually call. 917-889-2053. 917 is the area code. I don't even know where that's from. I just get it from Blog Talk Radio. And then, of course, my studio number is 889-2053. As far as... waiting for it to open. The NHRA. The Nationals down there in Gateway. Got all these results in front of me. None of them are condensed. But I do know, however, that Steve Torrence, top field leader for pretty much the entire year, still leads the points, and he won. Robert Height took the Funny Car Final. I know that Courtney the Force was running high. She did rather well on Friday, but didn't make it past the initial bracket. Still waiting for a co-host or two to chime in so I can get a little break on my breath. So, yeah, NHRA, Midwest Nationals at Gateway. Steve Torrance, point leader. He won the top field final. This is his seventh win in the finals. Robert Height, part of the Force camp. He took Funny Car. I know that John Force made it into at least the semis, I believe. Tanner Gray in my favorite division, Pro Stock. Tanner Gray won the Pro Stock division. And then Matt Smith took Pro Stock Motorcycle. So they all captured wins at Gateway. You know, I'm more entertained by the whole Pro Stock division. Pretty much because as far as equality and it being called stock, those guys and girls, by the way, Eric Anders, amongst others, they put those cars out there and they really, it's so unpredictable. It really is. And they're the only dragsters that have doors that open, unlike the funny cars that the top swings to the top. And, of course, top wheel doesn't have doors at all. Some of them choose to run window hatches, kind of like who was it? Topper Harley and Hot Shots Part 2, when he ejects and his neck gets cranked. And I miss that. I want to watch that movie again. So as far as NHRA goes, I'm going to take one more shot at this and look at the points, because they were not available while I was preparing yesterday and this morning. So we're going to look at the points, and I believe that Courtney Forrest did regain the funny car division. Steve Torrance, of course, is held on. And if you'll give me just a second or two, pulling up standings. I hate computers. I love computers, but I hate computers. As far as standings, yep. Steve Torrance, Clay Milliken, Tony Schumacher round out the top three in top field. And then in Funny Car, Robert Height, J.R. Todd, and Courtney Force are there in the showdown. Five races to go. Pro Stock goes to Tanner Gray, Vincent Nobel, and Drew Skillman. Big surprise. Jed Coughlin Jr., Greg Anderson, Erica Enders. You're talking about three drivers that pretty much held on to the top three. Now we're looking at them in the fourth through sixth positions. Now that's kind of a big surprise here. Let's skip ahead to Pro Bike, and I'll get you those results in just a split second. NHRA's site sucks, by the way, Kurt.
I don't know, because, you know, I think they need more force on there, you know, force it up, you know, force it on people, you know. Of course, I'm sure you can find some stuff being forced on you on their site somewhere.
Well, Papa John's just making the wrong pizza. Papa John, of course, they need to quit making pizzas and get that food truck going with the New York Sirloin Drag Strip and, you know, go from there. All right, I got it now. All right, Matt Smith leads Pro Bike Sports. And I can't even pronounce this guy's name. Lei Tonglei. I do, however, know that. You know, what's with all the pro bike guys? You got Eddie Krawick, spelled K-R-A-W-I-E-C. And then you got Andrew Savoie, or Jerry Savoie. It's like Savoie Faire is everywhere. And his last name is S-A-V-O-I-E. John Force needs to step the hell up and get these guys to just have some simple names.
I don't know. I think it spices it up a little. You know, give the NHRA credit, though. They're a lot. They have a lot more ethnic last names than others do. So, you know.
You know, but why would? I mean, we understand that the guy that wanted to make out with Will Ferrell in Talladega Nights was a French guy.
Yeah.
You don't think of that when it comes to drag racing in the NHRA.
No, but, you know, I mean, you know, and I think a lot of them, you know, I could be wrong here, so anybody into drag racing, do something here if I am wrong, but I think their roots go back to California, and, you know, especially in the 50s, you had all them people from all over the place moving there, so, you know, with all the people that were there, so, you know, little American history lesson for people there.
But when you bring it down to it, the fastest places on earth are in Utah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, the Great Salt Flats, you know.
It's kind of a dichotomy.
I'm wondering if the Great Salt Flats help with speed, though. I just thought of that. You know, fastest places on earth are Utah. Not too hot, not too cold, you know.
Sorry, I'm grabbing a slam of Gatorade here. Now, yeah, I mean Bonneville. And when you think about the Chevy Bonneville, Bonneville was nowhere near Detroit.
No, but, you know, I mean, how did Pontiac get its logo when it was just a suburb? Think about that.
True.
You know, the Mustang logo I get. I mean, you know, but there's another thing.
How did?
Yeah, but I mean, I always wondered, how did they come up with that name?
Okay, you got a Ford Mustang. You got a Dodge Colt.
Yep.
And it's the smallest freaking car on earth.
You know, and oh, you don't forget about the Ford Pinto. Not a horse, but part of the equine family, I think.
Chevy never had a horse, though, did they?
No, I don't know. They didn't. No, they never did.
I seem to remember a show back in April or May. We were talking about betting on a Colt.
Oh, yeah.
A C-O-L-T or a C-U-L-T? Yeah, that was cool.
Well, nothing ever comes good from Colts. So, I'm glad I went with the Colt. And, of course, a certain member of the equine family around that time of year made history, so.
Every once in a while, people get really hungry and they're jobless and they just need a piece of food to eat, so they join a Colt. What the hell? All right. So let's move on. At the recent World of Speed event in Bonneville, Utah, the Salt Flats, Keselowski Motorsports campaigned a Dodge Charger NASCAR-style stock car that had seen its fair share of track time before it hung up its oval racing and hit the Salt Flats. It was the old Intrepid, by the way. It was piloted by former ARCA champion Bob Keselowski and father of NASCAR drivers Brad and Brian. Whatever happened to Brian? Jesus. But he topped the Dodge out at 271.8 miles per hour on Bonneville's 5-mile straight line course. This totally dumped the old stock car record of 240. I mean, he trumped it, man. And I'm not talking about the president. He buried that, by 30 miles per hour. Bob Keselowski has some cup history both on and off the track. And this is where it gets funny. Once upon a time, his credentials were suspended when he physically confronted Carl Edwards for an on-track incident between Brad and Carl Edwards. But, hey, I love following Bonneville records, and hats off to Bob Kez for getting it done. That's pretty cool. He took an actual NASCAR Intrepid, and he buried the stock car record at the Salt Flats. Bob Keselowski, by the way, he's not the only parent to get kicked off the infield. A certain dad with the last name Logano comes to mind for not letting his kid fight his own battles.
Bob Keselowski back here at the gate for his son Brad to come in. And Bob, you came up. What was your view on what happened on the final lap?
Brad got into Carl, getting out on turn one, race him. They bumped, they rubbed, typical rub and racing deal. Carl went, flipped out like he did at Atlanta and tried to kill the kid. I'm sick and tired of this. I'll get my own damn uniform back out and take care of this. He ain't going to kill my boy.
Gotta love that Bob Keselowski, huh?
Never heard that on a baseball infield.
Can you imagine Joe Mauer's freaking mom or dad running out on the field? Don't hurt my boy! I'm going to kick your ass!
With that Minnesota accent, brother's car dealership would get involved. I don't know where I'm
sure
going
that
there.
I was going to say, I'm not sure that I've ever heard a Minnesota accent, but... So, hey, the most popular driver of the year goes to some Michael guy.
Yeah, Michael, everybody thinks Michael's this good guy. He's not the good guy like he actually is. The caution was out, and he wrecked me, and he's a piece of shit.
God, that Robbie's got a potty mouth.
Oh, God, I still say throw A.J. Foyt into that mix if you can. Oh, you know, Robbie Gordon could keep on commenting about a lot of things right now. Everything. Oh, that would be great. Keep on asking about something. He's a piece of shit, you know, left and right.
As most know, the Indy Series wrapped it up at Sonoma with Scott Dixon taking the title. He led almost all years in the points. I mean, he's got 5 championships. And no, Robbie Gordon was talking about Michael Waltrip, not Michael Andretti, by the way, when he mentioned that...
You know, Michael, everybody thinks Michael's this good guy. He's not the good guy like he actually is. The caution was out, and he wrecked me. And he's a piece of shit.
Oh, I just can't get enough of that. But so, hey, I can't find the date for the IRL banquet, but I'm sure Robbie Gordon isn't invited. But I did, however, find out today that Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogg declared today, Monday, September 24, 2018, Scott Dixon Day in the city to honor the IndyCar drivers' accomplishments. Like I say, multiple wins, 5 championships. I mean, he's been the... oh, God, now I got to play it again. He's been the...
You know, Michael, everybody thinks Michael's this good guy. He's not the good guy like he actually is. The caution was out, and he wrecked me. And he's a piece of shit.
God,
no,
Robbie Gordon just can't get over it.
Well, you know what he said when... I was talking to him the other day, and he thought your name was Mike. Here's what he said.
You know, Michael, everybody thinks Michael's this good guy. He's not the good guy like he actually is. The caution was out, and he wrecked me. And he's a piece of shit.
He's got it out for everyone.
I know. He thinks everybody's name is Michael, too. That's, you know, and, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, I guess if you're talking about Michael Jordan, you know what he thinks. If you're thinking about Michael Andretti, you know what he thinks. Mike
well,
Tyson.
I was talking to Jeff Johnson's campaign dude earlier. His name is Michael, and fucking, oh, I just said the F word. I'm worse than Robbie. But yeah.
No kidding.
But Jeff Johnson's, one of his campaign guys, name is Michael, and Robbie stormed up here. And this
yeah, Michael, everybody thinks Michael's this good guy. He's not the good guy like he actually is. The costume was out, and he wrecked me, and he's a piece of shit.
I mean,
oh.
You know,
there would be a driver that might not have good customer service in a food truck, by the way.
Well, you know, if Robbie actually feels that way about Jeff Johnson's campaign guy, he needs to intervene and is what it is. Hey, I just popped something open on my little ticker thing. Scott Dixon, IndyCar champ, just announced NASCAR is on his radar. Now, when you look at the rides that are open in the Xfinity Series, especially that number one that Elliott Sadler is retiring from Junior Motorsports, this makes things a little more interesting.
Yeah, it does.
I'm going to be watching this like a hawk. I mean, this is this ain't small change.
And that would, I wonder if the IRL would like that too, just to mix it up a little. I must be guaranteed a new champion.
Yeah. I don't know though. You got to remember that last year it was Joseph Newgarden, and this year Joseph Newgarden ended up fifth. Will Power has been extremely strong. And add to that Ryan Hunter Ray and who's the other one in the mix? Ryan Hunter Ray, Scott Dixon. Alexander Rossi. So let's go for a quick break. I'm going to organize one more stat. And then we're going to come back with some NASA BS.
Gee, what does Robbie Gordon think of NASA?
Yeah, Michael, everybody thinks Michael's this good guy. He's not the good guy like he actually is. The caution was out, and he wrecked me. And he's a piece of shit.
God, is he
man,
upset.
Michael, why are you just such a dick to Robbie?
Oh, God, I mean, but one thing, I mean, you know, Robbie Gordon can drive anything, he can probably fly anything, but he just can't get rid of his anger toward Michael. I mean, whoa.
Yeah.
I want Michael to knock some positivity into Robbie Gordon, though. Man, just maybe that's why he's such a piece of, maybe that's why he's so mean to Robbie. I mean, just Robbie Gordon's not Mr. Positivity. I mean, think about that.
All right. I have a new soundbite. I was trying to figure out where to put it in, and I created it myself on my own soundbite software.
Green flag, hammer down.
Now, would you believe that that's actually my voice?
Oh, I thought it was Robbie Gordon.
Green flag, hammer down.
Okay.
That's actually me. That's me using a pitch shifter.
No. All right, hammer it down.
Green flag, yeah. Hammer down.
I mean, I could do some Darth Vader shit at that point.
Hmm.
I mean, I could take Britney's voice and change it lower.
Even Kanye makes more sense than you.
Can you imagine Britney going, "Ooh, Kanye makes more sense than you"? Yeah, that would it'd be pretty awesome. But yeah, I like this. I'm going to come up with some type of intro, whatever.
Green flag, hammer down.
Dude, I sound like freaking God.
Yeah, well, maybe it's a little more positive than Robbie Gordon.
Well, I mean, Robbie is Robbie, and he doesn't seem to have much coming out of his mouth except for
Yeah, Michael, everybody thinks Michael's this good guy. He's not the good guy like he actually is. The caution was out, and he wrecked me. And he's a piece of shit.
No. Someday his princess will come. Hey, oh, hold on a second. I got a Facebook something. Seriously, people, just click on the damn link. It's not that hard. Yeah, whatever. Let's go back to the Blog Talk Radio page. Hey, by the way, the Parker Solar Probe, if it was actually traveling at 430,000 miles per hour with the sun 92.6 million miles away, it would be there already. I'm not buying this crap.
Well, they don't. Most of the journey, though, they probably don't do it at top speed. I mean, it wouldn't be worth it to do it at top speed.
It's not like the frickin' rocket has to stop and take potty breaks.
No, but there's other consideration there, too. I mean, it could, although highly unlikely, it could hit a little tiny meteorite. It could hit, you know, once again, highly unlikely. I'm sure NASA's just got it all planned out. I mean,
it left here just under a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
August 12th.
Yeah.
2:30 in the morning, Minnesota time. It's got to be. Why's it got to take till November?
You have to ask them, but they're probably, it's probably just precautionary.
My guess is that it's going to swing into an orbit behind the sun and then start to circle. Maybe stop by, grab a beer, have a date with the Solar Princess. Who is the Solar Princess, by the way?
I'm not sure, but, you know, might even, you know, Mr. Parker, you know, he found those solar waves, and you know, they might want it, you know, might want to have some time to surf them waves and everything like that. So, you know, might want to take a nice little surfing break. And
well, if his name is Michael Parker.
Yeah, Michael, everybody thinks Michael's this good guy. He's not the good guy like he actually is. The caution was out, and he wrecked me. And he's a piece of shit.
You know what's so funny? Speaking of NASA, that soundbite is somewhere in the solar system, even as we speak. Probably, it's probably somewhere near Alpha Centauri or past Alpha Centauri 1 or 2 already. So that thing's floating. That soundbite's out there floating in the galaxy.
Well, remember the South Park episode about the Marklar?
Mm-hmm.
Your Marklar is our Marklar, and we are here to save our Marklar so we can have more Marklar.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Maybe Robbie meant to say Marklar instead of
maybe.
Michael.
Maybe. Maybe.
That's interesting.
God, he would be fun to have on here. Just because of everything he's been in, everything he says. He's got a cool little truck series. He's got, oh, man.
Well, apparently he doesn't actually own it.
Oh.
But trying to find something here. Here it is. So anyways, regardless of the 430,000 miles per hour, Bob Keselowski, he set that land speed record in the Dodge Intrepid. And, you know, I'm willing to bet that if the Parker Solar Probe and Robbie Gordon got together, Bob Keselowski would still talk shit and be saying,
Bob Keselowski back here at the King for his son Brad to come in. And Bob, you came up. What was your view on what happened on the final lap?
Brad got into Carl, getting out on turn one, racing. They bumped, they rubbed. Typical rub and racing deal. Carl flipped out like he did at Atlanta and tried to kill the kid. I'm sick and tired of this. I'll get my own damn uniform back out and take care of this. He ain't going to kill my boy.
That's one pissed off daddy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did some math last night, and for some reason the numbers just don't add up. Right now the solar probe is like 2.5 million miles from Earth, 2.50.752 to be exact as of, 32 minutes ago at 7:30. That means like November or something to go. So. Are you writing stuff down?
No. I'm waiting for Robbie Gordon to get in.
I'm just trying to figure out this whole 430,000 miles per hour is supposed to be the fastest thing ever built on Earth. Sure is taking a freaking long time. I mean, it's
they
time to just...
Green flag, hammer down.
They don't do anything at full speed. It's just, you know, they can't.
You know, maybe they need somebody like Jeff Gordon.
Yeah. Jeff Gordon ain't bad for an old guy.
You know, I mean, that thing, they also don't want to crash it directly into the sun. There's probably... It's probably just so precautionary, but then they're going to probably start revving it up pretty soon, too.
Its name is Michael.
Yeah, Michael, everybody thinks Michael's this good guy. He's not the good guy like he actually is. The caution was out, and he wrecked me, and he's a piece of shit.
You know, he's even naming a probe in outer space Michael. Now Robbie is just wanting to be angry.
But everyone has always said, always talking about anal probes. So if an anal probe becomes a piece of shit, it's pretty much self-explanatory why it became that way.
Well, maybe. Nope, not my thing, so never met extraterrestrial that I know of, so.
All right, I have no final laps for tonight. It's kind of busy talking to a certain governor candidate and things like that. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get some thoughts on the rest of the chase. So, Scott Dixon probably absorbing one of the eligible competitive Xfinity Series rides. I'm thinking the number one of Junior Motorsports that Elliott Sadler is vacating. There were a few other drivers who I thought were the prospects, but with this breaking news, it wouldn't be the first time that Dale Jr. took on an Indy driver. Remember that certain little girl named Danica?
Oh, yes. And I know Mr. Montoya never won a championship, but he had some success from time to time. Another former IndyCar driver. And, of course, a certain somebody named Tony Stewart had some success in a stock car. And, you know, go after Danica all you want, but, you know, I still don't think that was a bad idea to give it a try. And
you know, and
Scott
I got to say, too, that, you know, so often people are talking their crap about any car drivers can't drive stock cars. Well, it used to be, remember, Mr. Cole Trickle, I want to get to Indy.
Yep.
The stupidest freaking sketch I've seen in a stock car movie ever, because nobody was driving stock cars to earn their place in Indy. But
right.
Now, you go to Tony Stewart. He didn't exactly make a splash in 1997, but he could do stuff.
Well, and two, you could, and it might have helped him not to make that gigantic big splash. You know, you don't want to have like a one-hit wonder. But he paced, he just was at a good pace, and look what happened.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because the actual chassis that Matt Kenseth shoved him, it was 1998, the second race at Rockingham. Matt Kenseth in the Robbie Reiser car, supported by Roush. Nonetheless, by the way, a Chevy out of a Ford camp. But that final turn at Rockingham, Ken spun Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the year, until they got back to Rockingham, it sucked for Stewart. It really did. And his Rockingham was the track that Stewart could shine on. None of the others. Back then, though, they were still racing South Boston. They were still racing, you know, a handful of short tracks that no longer run. Stewart started to hit the big tracks in the Cup Series the following year, in 99. More horsepower, bigger tracks. He kicked ass.
Yeah, he did.
And that was when he pulled the double, Indy and Charlotte 600. And he was wore the F out. He was collapsed next to his car. And Dale Sr. walked over and said, "You ain't no freaking rookie." Finished fourth.
Hmm.
And I think Earnhardt even went to the back of Stewart's car and peeled off one of the yellow pieces of rookie tape. But yeah, just all the people back then that were saying, ugh, IndyCar drivers can't drive stock cars. BS. Yeah, no, what's his butt that wouldn't sign an autograph for us? Such an obvious name, but
Michael Busch.
Yeah, it was Michael Busch.
Yeah, and remember what Robbie Gordon, when we asked him, you know, Robbie Gordon was there in spirit, and then we asked the spirit of Robbie Gordon about that guy, you know? Yeah,
his name was Sam I Am or something like that, but I'm pretty sure he pissed Robbie Gordon off just as bad as but no, it was Sam Hornish. That's when all that BS was going down with AJ Allmendinger failing the test, and I'm sure Robbie's going to claim that his name is Michael.
Yeah, Michael. Everybody thinks Michael's this good guy. He's not the good guy like he actually is. The caution was out, and he wrecked me, and he's a piece of shit.
I forgot where Robbie Gordon got his first cup win, but I thought, because I got so tired of hearing the name Robbie Gordon, but then when you told me Robbie Gordon won yesterday, I thought it was actually kind of cool, because finally, just one of them names that you always hear, one win.
I just love.
Now I'm not getting anything. I am not hearing anything. So if you keep talking, I just can't hear you. Is this a Parker Solar probe? Unless it's Michael Waltrip, because apparently we like to hear Robbie Gordon, so. Twiddling my thumbs. Okay, let's see here. I wonder if Robbie Gordon, what he would think of my this line we have right now. I wonder, if its name was Michael, what he would say.